So you know what that means? Anybody in a hurry today? No, that's not what it means. It means the battery in my watch died and it quit working. That's why I don't have my watch on. So don't worry about the time. Be great. And for those who have heard me and seen me preach before, I am spouting a new look. I have a suit on, which is unusual for me. I very rarely wear a suit. But there's something that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about mothers today. And I want to continue kind of what Bill's been doing for weeks, which is the prayer, praying. And if I have to give my message a title, it's Pray for Mothers. And there's a reason. But before I start, I want to get on the same page. All of us on the same page, kind of change the narrative with how we think when I'm talking about mothers for today. So if you bear with me, understand this. If a woman is pregnant, she has a baby, okay? She's not expecting. I mean, what does she think? It's going to be delivered by Amazon or FedEx? I mean, you know, so if she's pregnant, she has a baby. It's growing inside her, but she has a baby. And if she has a baby, that makes her a mom. Okay? We need to understand that because so often in our culture today, our young women, girls, if you would, don't understand. They don't understand pregnancy. They don't understand being a mom. They got this misconception of what motherhood really is. They think that if a baby isn't born, it's not a baby. I'm sorry. God created each and every one of us in our mother's womb. As a human being, as a child, we have mothers. So I want you to think about that as we talk this morning. I want to talk about praying for moms. One of the first things we need to pray for is that the mom makes the right choice for her and her children. Because after all, she's the one that makes the decisions in a child's life. It's not like our culture thinks that a child can make up its own mind, do what it wants to do, decide what it wants to be. I'm sorry, that's a mom's responsibility. A mom is the greatest teacher any child will ever have from the time of pre-birth up through the age of about 6. You say, pre-birth? Sure. Haven't you ever heard about a baby's response who's in a womb when mom's singing and listening to music and the type of music that she listens to? The baby can hear. The baby can sense what's going on. The mother chooses what she's going to listen to and how she's going to act and what she's going to put into her body. May it be good or bad for her or the baby. Before I get into Proverbs 31, I ask if you'll go to the Lord in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I pray you be with us this morning as we look at motherhood and we pray for our moms. We pray, Father, for wisdom, for guidance, for direction for them, but also for us. Where we might be that little influence that makes a difference in a decision that she may make, a choice she may choose, the pointing of the direction she may go. Give us wisdom as well. Please be with us this morning, Father, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 28, I'm not going to be reading the verses. Hopefully you have it marked and you've heard it this morning. You notice the mom makes the choices. the fields she's going to buy, the material that she makes, the clothes, the food she's going to cook, reaching out to the people that she comes in contact with. She makes all these choices. Gee, sounds like she's got a full-time job, doesn't it? We think sometimes motherhood is laying on the couch with her feet up, watching soap operas and eating bonbons. Oh, I'm sorry, that throws back. You can tell how old I am, because that goes back to the 60s. But yet, we have this concept that they don't do much, but they do. And today, moms seem to forget in their choices. The choices that are made by the mom in Proverbs 31, and yeah, it's about a wife, but it's still the mom. She always puts others first before herself. She always watches the welfare of her family, her employees, her friends, her neighbors, those that she comes in contact with. She always puts their welfare first before herself. Today, I almost cringe when I look at Facebook. The reason I'm on Facebook is because all my grandkids. It's about the only way I keep in contact with them, okay? But I hear these young moms, how burdensome their children are. Oh, I can't do what I want to do because the baby cries. I don't get the sleep that I need because the baby's awake. I don't get, and you can add into that little blank of what they can't do because of the children. I'm sorry. I may be a guy, but I thought that was a part of motherhood. Of watching your children, caring for your children, loving your children, nurturing your children, is putting them first. Now it's funny, we don't think about this when our kids are young and seem to be underfoot, so to speak. When my kids grew up, and the last one left home, y'all have heard the term empty nest syndrome. Well, in our family, it hit Dad worse than it hit Mom. And I would get up and I'd walk to my daughter's bedroom and go to say something and realize, oh, that's right, she's gone. She's not here anymore. And I started thinking, I'm Dad. I'm not the one that spent 24/7 with her when she was an infant. I'm not the one that sat up all night when she was sick. I wasn't the one who sat with tears streaming down when she was so sick the doctors didn't know what was the matter and we didn't know if she was going to live or die. My wife did. I didn't think that. And I wondered, how much did my wife miss my children, now they're grown up and gone. But I've realized something. They may no longer be children, but they're some of my wife's best friends. There's not a day that goes by that all three of my girls call Mom. Now, it's hilarious because I bet my wife, is the phone going to make it through the day without dying? But whatever she's doing, still today, whatever's going on, she stops and puts the kids first. What they need, what they want, she's right there for them still after all these years. And it's strange to hear grandkids and great-grandkids now coming to Grandma Lucy and asking questions about what they should do or to teach them how to do something. You see, moms, no matter how old your kids get or your grandkids or your great-grandkids, and if the Lord blesses you with the great-great-grandkids, you will always be a teacher. You will always be there to show something greater than anyone else can. And you know what that is? Love and acceptance. By putting them first. Let them know they're loved and cared for. It breaks my heart when I hear a parent, especially a mom, "Get out of here. You bother me. You're useless. You're no good. You're..." And I'm thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. If any of that is true, there's only one person to blame. Mom. Your child is a direct reflection of you, of who you are. I'm going to throw in a little bit about dads, because dads are sitting back there thinking, "Yeah, he's talking about moms, they're off the hook." No. I want you to think about your children, especially your daughters. And think about your daughters dating a guy just like you. Does it make you smile or cringe? If you cringe, you may have to change a little. You see, dads make a difference, but nothing compared to what moms do. We need to pray for their decision making to make the right choices. Because the choices the girls, the moms have to make today start with, are they going to stay a mom? And that's a scary thought. But even more than that, we need to pray the decisions that they have strength to follow through with their choices. You know, my son was down at Fort Wayne, was telling Mom and I about a goose. They built a nest at the edge of his little pond, his lake behind his house. And it was right on the shore. And he said it was strange because the goose brought in most of the stuff for the nest. And you could tell that the goose was the one that picked the spot for the nest. And she was just working her little heart out, and the husband was kind of lollygagging around, you know. And he says, "Boy, it must be nice." And he said, and then she laid an egg and she got down on her nest. And the husband just sort of swam around, making sure everything was okay. And she sat there on her nest. And he said, one afternoon it started snowing. And it snowed all afternoon. And it snowed all night long. And he was worried to death. Boy, as cold as that is, and you know, what's going to happen to that poor egg? He got up the next morning, went to the window, and there sat Mom, covered in snow, sitting on the nest. Didn't move. And he said, you know, he realized something. When you're a mom, you've got a lot of hard choices to make. And some of them are really uncomfortable. And some of them you'd prefer not to put up with. But that's the price you pay to keep the next generation safe. And he thought about that. Wow. What an awesome responsibility, moms, that you have. Protecting the coming up generations. Watching over them. No matter what the difficulties that you face. the strength. Proverbs 31, again, talks about the same verses 10 through 28. The work that she does. The busyness that she has in her life. Now, my wife sews. She has sewn most of the kids' life. Making dresses, little gowns, clothes, fixing my clothes. And you know, I didn't think much about it until I had to start sewing my own button on. Because she was busy one day. You say, sewing a button's on, not so hard. Have you ever tried it? And you've never done it before? Try it, then tell me how easy it is. And she did most of her sewing by hand. And I used to think it was busy work. Until now, my grandkids are bringing the great-grandkids over and saying, Grandma, will you make her a dress? Grandma, will you make her a gown? Grandma, will you fix her pants? Not only our daughters and son coming and saying, Mom, will you fix? Will you sew? And our sons-in-laws, daughter-in-law. It takes a lot of strength and a lot of determination to do that type of stuff. We think woman's work is easy until we realize a woman's work's never done. She's always not only doing something, but she's already got something planned to do when she's done doing what she's doing. And then she's got other things planned ahead for what she's going to do. I feel bad. I'm retired for the second time. The first time didn't work out so good, so I decided to try it again. And all I do is what I feel like doing. Guys, any of you are that place where you get up and you kind of do what you want to do, and if you don't feel like doing anything, you don't? Huh? I am. Okay? I can say that. But you know, my wife, she doesn't get to retire. She has to work. She still cooks, cleans, takes care of me. Has that made me feel guilty? No. But I will tell you, it has changed me. I actually do the dishes more often than not. I've even started to learn how to cook. Now, there are certain things that I can make really well. Jello, pudding. Hey, iced tea. You know, I'm getting good. Next week we start on banana bread and some other things. And you say, well, why are you doing that now? Because I'll be honest, I am feeling a little guilty. I get to do what I want to do, but she's got to work. And she's worked for almost 50 years of marriage. Making hard choices and going hours that are beyond normal. It talks about Proverbs that she's up early in the morning. Her kids get up and call her blessed. She's already up and working. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. She's up after everybody's in bed. That takes strength, stamina. I remember being raised, women were the weaker sex. Boy, what a fantasy that is. I learned that, especially from our first child's birth. Guys, have you ever had one of those machines they put on your tummy and it gets to tickle it, like when your wife's having a contraction? I use the word tickle only in a strange concept, because trust me, the doctor showed me what it was like. Hit me with one and about crawled off the table. And he says, well, wait a minute. I don't have it set at the lowest setting yet. And I just said, that's fine. I learned enough. The pain, the decisions they have to make, the strength they have to go on. But also, we need to pray that they keep God first in their life. Keep God at the forefront of their lives. Because you see, Winston Churchill, he had an editor come in from a magazine, and he wanted to do an article on Winston Churchill. So he brought in a list of all Churchill's teachers. And he gave it to Winston Churchill, and Winston Churchill gave it back to him the next day with one correction. And it says, you've missed one teacher. The most important teacher. The teacher that made the greatest impact on my whole life. My mother. You see, she was a teacher, but she taught him, and it's the same way, moms, you teach your children the importance of God in your life, in the life of the family. Now, over 35 years of ministry, I kept an unwritten record, just kept it up here, of every Sunday at every church I'd be at, the number of women versus the women are going, oh, you already know where I'm going to that one, don't you? Number of women attendance versus the number of men in attendance. There's always more women than men who were there. I had the pleasure of being able to ask some of the women, why are you here all the time, but your husband's not? And she says, well, praising God means more to me than just about anything else. And she says, I want to share that with my family, my kids. And this is what blew me away. She says, because the kids understand, if it's that important to me, maybe it should be important to them too. You see, if a woman keeps God first and in the forefront of her life, her family, her kids will know. This is another shout out to dads. Dads, if you're not here on Sundays and your kids see it, what you're telling your kids is God's not that important in your life, and God's that important to me, so don't worry about it, and trust me, they will latch on to that in a heartbeat. But that's a message for Father's Day. But Mother's Day, so important. Because mom's hands are always working. Her mouth is speaking. Hopefully in praises to her children, to her family, words of encouragement. I remember my wife talking to our great-granddaughter. And she was sitting at the table, and she was trying to draw and color, and she couldn't do it. She was about ready to give up. You know? How kids get if they can't do something, and they kind of get discouraged. And Grandma says, "Honey, you can do it. You can do it. You gotta just keep trying. You can do it. You can draw that. You can color. You can do it. I know you can. I got confidence in you." Well, Chloe stayed and she did. And boy, you think she had won a gold medal because she accomplished it. And when our granddaughter, Cassie, came home to pick her up, Chloe ran to the door. "Mommy, look what I made. Look what I made." And I'm thinking, only from the words of encouragement did she finish. Moms, when you put God first, think of all the words of encouragement He gives us from His Scripture. And pass those words of encouragement onto them. In closing, I'm going to ask, Mom, there's something I want you to do today. And it's not hard. And hopefully you're already doing it and you're doing it every day. Thank God that you're a mom. Because what the world needs is more loving mothers. Thank you. Let's close in prayer.